We're back on In Focus News Radio KMAN, talking today Pottawatomie County issues. We've got joining us in studio, Dee McKee, County Commission Chair, and County Clerk Nancy McCarter joining us via Zoom today. Nancy has some information on tax statements, which I know a lot of governments have been getting some of their numbers in, and a lot of them have been pretty positive. What say you, Nancy, here in Pott County?
We have all the budgets in. We have, like, I believe, 47 municipalities that turn in budgets. My deputy clerk's working on compiling that information, and it's looking pretty level. We didn't have to have any special elections, so that's encouraging. We're going to start working levies after Columbus Day, because we're closed on October 12th for Columbus Day, and then we'll start working levies on the 13th. We'll get the values from the county appraiser, and then we'll hopefully roll the taxes over to the county treasurer probably October 27th, because by statute, she has to be ready to collect taxes on November 1st. So it's a busy time between election stuff and county clerk stuff, and then we have abstracts that are due to the state, and we got all the special assessments in, which Pott County has a tremendous amount of special assessments. So we're getting tax statements ready for y'all.
All right. Lovely. Everyone's excited to hear about that. Well, as far as, revenues coming into the county, has it been good here over the summer?
According to our county treasurer, they've been pretty steady. Coming in pretty good. We don't have too much on delinquent level. Last her report was that we were doing a good job.
All right. I know that a lot of counties now are starting to distribute their Spark funds as well. That's quite a process, I'm sure, for you guys, Dee.
Yeah. They've got somebody in the administration office handling that, thank God. Andrea Umscheid's been working with that, and Heather Gladbach.
Okay.
So I can't really speak on a lot. Dee may probably know more than I do.
Yes, it has been a challenge that we've met weekly in Zoom meetings from the state trying to talk about what they expected, and every week they seemingly expect something different. We have 10 small communities in our county, and each of those groups that meet usually meet once a month. So we introduce them to the information and say, here's what's possible, and then the next month it's a here's something else that we didn't tell you. And it's been, I think, very cumbersome at our level to try and make sure that everybody understood what they could ask for and what the purpose of that money was, protections and preparations for service at distance, communication systems. We're doing a tower to expand our thing with some of the money. The other part of it is distribution of revenue to individual businesses that have been closed and lost revenue, or that had a difficult time maintaining rent because of income. And so we have visited and met some of the people who are in Blue Township in our county, and our county's taking care of the businesses in our county, even though they're in the city of Manhattan. And each of those people has to fill out a profit loss statement and make a sort of proposal of what they believe is appropriate for what they're doing. They cannot duplicate the money. They can't get it twice from federal government, so that if they got the earlier, it's called PPP, profit protection or something else, if they were in that group, then they could possibly apply for others, but they cannot duplicate those monies. And the challenge will be getting on out to the end, distributing them. We have our economic development group. Jack Alston heads up a group of bankers and investors and key people in the community who are looking at those proposals and evaluating based on their understanding of their success potential and their preservation. It's most important in every county to not lose the tax-paying businesses, and I think that's what we focused our use of the money on. And so that has gone on. The balance will go to reimburse the county for extraordinary expenses that we've had to buy lights, for protection gear, extra face covers, different numbers of people working at different hours to offset what had happened, getting in the meds, having the county health nurses do the tracing. it's a full-time complicated job, and there are several levels of meetings from the federal have some stacked in there about what they think, and then we have the state ones, and then we have individual sections of the state, whether it's the police, fire, and ambulance people talking to us about it, or economic development and the grants that can come out of mental health and to the schools. It's been very intense in terms of trying to capture and understand and deliver on the timeline. The grant should go out rather quickly if they haven't already, and they should be pretty well spent by the 1st of January, so you can't build something like a palace right. with the money. But we're doing the best we can to get everybody at least stabilized. I don't know that we're going to make anybody rich and wealthy, but it is a real interesting moment. My personal wish, I've sent it to Jerry Moran and to Marshall and said, I wish this wasn't just grants, that it would be a 0.5% loan and they would pay it back and the local people could determine in 6 months or something that we were being successful, so that we'd have continuing money for things that came up when it came back gradually rather than being just, there you are, go. But they haven't been in meeting in Washington since the thing happened. They haven't had a chance to sit down and talk about anything different. So my wishes don't always come true. But I find that that's the challenge sitting there as chair of the county looking at all of these dollars. Some things can you want, but you don't know, you do not need, and we need to try to focus largely on the needs that maintain stability for the future of the businesses and the tax base for the next years, and we put a lot of effort in it.
I'm curious, is there different rules for municipalities, like let's say a Wamego versus a Blue Township, since it's not an actual city, for the monies that they can receive?
In the initial part, we divided the monies took a formula and divided it to the cities based on population, so on, and told the cities to take care of the people in the city that they had. They should use that money in appropriate ways. And at that challenge was difficult for some of the small towns because they meet once a month and don't really know what they're getting into. So we did go back with some of those cities who had people who applied that the cities turned the money down and put them on the county work plan. And the cities, basically, we may not have gotten all their information back about what they exactly did, but their leadership is pretty good at probably knowing where the ups and downs are in the process.
Is the hardest part about this whole process just getting the money spent in before the end of the year, or just documenting everything? I imagine this has got to be a huge.
It is. It requires at the end a federal audit, and we don't know how many people are up there to do a federal audit for all the cities, counties, 105 counties, all the people that are out here, but we have to assume that. And so every time we hand out we've created a memorandum of understanding with the people receiving the money that they are obligated to assure that they do not duplicate spend any federal money. If they schools, we gave some. They also are getting, I think, money in round three. I haven't followed that too closely, but if they double spend it and it has to be paid back, we have an agreement and they will recompensate the taxpayers for that, because otherwise the county would have to pay it back. And if we don't have the money, we're not going to be a very happy camper. So I've been pretty clear to them that it is an important thing not to just move it into something that seems like, oh, let's let's have a picnic or something like that, that doesn't tie to the improvement of dealing with or surviving through what has come about because of the COVID virus.
Quite a challenge. It's a tough time to be in government right now, isn't it?
Amen. That's why Nancy's looking like she's a rock star.
Yep, I'm out of here. No. No, it's still our county. We still have to care about it.
Absolutely.
I think we're doing pretty well. We're not going to keep all the people happy. And sometimes
no.
I get a little bit off to said, but I saw Bud. I shouldn't even say this. No, I won't tell my stories about how to look lightly at it.
That's a good point here. And a lot of governments, we're seeing this at the schools especially, you can't make everybody happy no matter what you do here with this situation. You just try to do what's best for the greater good.
Yes, and schools have taken different approaches. And having been a school educator, a superintendent, a principal in my life, I dearly want the kids to learn to go to different programs and continue to learn and read, even though nobody's giving them the assignment. Their competition is out there in the world. It's the kind of people that I met on the train in Japan and China, and they talk English perfectly well. Our children have a tough time doing dual languages. Those things they need to do on their spare time with Babbel, which is a good place to start learning to talk, or I've said it before, Khan Academy can go in and any piece that the child doesn't understand does very good presentations created by Bill Gates. And I admire our teachers' efforts in trying to get class out to the kids, but every other day at a distance when you just talk on Zoom is a challenge. Usually when we taught online at Fort Riley as assistant dean, we had a base program, and you could put stuff in it, and then you'd give them, here's what you should need to know, and then here's the examples, and here, read this, and then respond. I don't think that Zoom lets them stack that material like that so that they walk away and the kids can go back and review what goes. The potential of being good online is there. It is just not up to the standard that the kids, especially little kids.
Yeah.
My nieces and nephews had me blue hair and pink ears and all that stuff before I got done trying to talk to them, and we were just Zooming back just for the fun of it. Anyway. A lot of fun in it, too.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, yeah, take another break here. We'll come back. We'll continue our conversation on In Focus, News Radio KMAN.